is the Electric Theater.
And this is Helen Hayes.
Every Sunday evening, America's business-managed, tax-paying electric light and power companies present the Electric Theater, starring Miss Helen Hayes in the plays you want to hear. Here is Miss Hayes to tell you about tonight's play.
Good evening. Most of us think of Stephen Vincent Benet as one of America's great poets, but he was also a superb teller of tales. Tonight's play is taken from one of his charming short stories, The Sobbin' Women. I'm happy to welcome Mr. John Morley to the Electric Theater as our leading man tonight.
Go upstairs. Go downstairs. Go all through your house. Yes, go all through your house. Watch electricity serving you. Then look at your family budget.
Electric service does so much, yet costs so little.
It's a fact. Electric service is the biggest bargain in your family budget today. It's low in price, high in value. Because America's business-managed electric light and power companies manage so efficiently. Because their thousands of employees work so skillfully. And because you and your neighbors use electric service so widely. Yes, even though costs of supplying it to you are rising steadily, electric service is still the biggest bargain in your family budget. Because
electric service does so much, yet costs so little.
And now our play, The Sobbin' Women, starring Helen Hayes in the role of Millie, with John Morley as Harry Pontippy.
Well, here it is, coming on winter again. And when it comes on winter, I always think of how I got married to Harry and how Harry's brothers found wives. It was in the early days of settlement, and Harry and the other Pontippy boys lived on land that they and their pa had cleared themselves. This was in Sobbin' Women Valley, only it wasn't called Sobbin' Women Valley yet. When their pa died, the boys carried on with a farm and everything went just the same as always. But when their ma died, well, you know what men folks are like without a woman to do the real work for them. But it took Harry Pontippy and his brothers most a year to realize what was wrong.
The flapjacks are greasy again.
Well, Harry, I ain't a good cook, that's all.
You don't have to tell us that, Hob. I can taste it.
Hosea, you leave Hob alone. You ain't such a good cook either. What are you laughing at, Howard?
Well, none of us ain't a good cook. But the trouble is, the ones that don't cook got to do the cleaning or the laundry or something. But we ain't no good at that either.
That's right. You know what we got to get, brothers? We got to get a woman to take care of this place. I can lay a tree within 2 inches of where I want it to fall. Hob can wrestle under Holt and over Holt. Hosea can shoot the eye out of a gray squirrel in a treetop. And Howard can tan a deerskin better than an Indian squaw. But we can't cook and we can't dust and we can't make a house comfortable because that's a woman's business. And there seems to be some trick about it.
Well, we could get a hired girl, maybe.
That hired girl we had was the last one left in the East. Some may have grown up since her time, but I don't want to go all the way back east on the chance of an out-and-out miracle.
Well, then, there's just one thing to do.
What's that?
One of you'll have to get married.
Looks like that's the only thing we can do. One of you'll have to get married.
Yeah, that's a good idea. Which one of you fellas wants to get married?
Well, I'm the oldest.
Of course.
So, if no one's going to speak up, I'll just have to pick one of you.
Oh, no. Oh, no. You're the oldest, so you ought to be the one to get married, Harry.
I'm the oldest, so I ought to give the bridegroom away. After all, who could give me away?
Wait a minute. No, Harry, you're elected, all democratic-like and everything.
What's democratic about it?
3 votes to 1 sounds democratic to me.
Harry Pontippy, the people's choice.
You're elected, Harry.
That's so? Well, you'll have to make me, and all three of you together couldn't do that.
Well, guess we'll have to do a little persuading. You circle them to the right, Hosea. Hob, you go to the left, and I'll take them.
No, better keep away.
I got a good toe. I got the other toe.
Fine, I'll
let me just twist his arm here.
Give him a good... Let me go. Let me go.
You going to find yourself a bride?
No.
Going to find yourself a bride?
All right. I'll go to town and get married tomorrow.
All right. Let them up, boys. I always did like democracy.
He said to me, "Are you married?" And when I said no, he blushed and ran away.
He said to me, "Good morning, ma'am. Would you marry me and my three brothers?"
He said to me, "Miss, it's most 2 o'clock and I've been refused by 24 females already. I got to get back in time for evening chores. Won't you marry me?" He's still stopping every girl he meets. His face is red from all the slaps he got.
Hey, here's the very girl for him.
Who? Where?
Coming right along the sidewalk here. Millie.
Millie?
Are you girls laughing at me?
Why, what gave you that idea, Millie?
I haven't got that idea. I'm just asking.
Well, what if we was laughing at you?
I don't stand being laughed at. Just because you girls have real homes and real parents don't mean you're any better than me.
Of course we're not, Millie. Why, we was just saying not 5 minutes ago that we bet a pretty girl like you could get married quicker than any of us if she wanted to.
Goodbye.
Dumb fools.
Hello, girl.
Hello, backwoodsman.
It's a nice day.
'Tis for some.
It'd be a nice day to,
To what?
To get married.
That'd depend on who a body was marrying.
What if a body was marrying you?
Well, I'm a bound girl. If a body was marrying me, he'd have to pay $50 to free me from the folks I'm bound to.
Do you like being bound?
Would you like it?
Oh. Well, my name's Harry Ponapy. I got a good farm up the valley.
Have you?
Yeah. And some folks seem to think I'd make a good husband.
Do they?
Yeah, they do. What do you think about it?
Couldn't tell on such short acquaintance.
Well, will you marry me and find out?
Yes, I will.
Well, I thought I'd ask anyway. You will? Of
course I will. Was you ever a bound girl?
No.
Well, I guess if you was, you'd sneak away from the folks you was bound to. If you heard there was a young fella in town asking girls to marry him. Is it much farther to the farm, Harry?
Not much.
Husband.
What?
Nothing. I was just saying, husband.
Oh.
Is that the farm down there in the valley, Harry?
That's it.
Pretty.
You can see Hosea there in the cornfield.
Who's Hosea?
My brother.
Your brother? Oh, does he live with us, Harry?
Sure does.
Oh.
Hosea's the quiet one.
You seem pretty quiet.
Yeah, Hosea and I are quiet. But now you take Howard.
Howard?
Another brother.
Another one?
Yeah. He's full of fun, noisy fun, and Hob's almost as bad.
Is Hob another brother?
Yeah.
Hosea and Howard and Hob. Is that all the brothers you've got, Harry?
That's all.
They all live with us?
That's right.
I feel kind of like I'd committed bigamy. What are you laughing at, Harry?
I was thinking about how you asked if my brothers lived with us. Us? You ain't scarcely seen the farm yet, and you talk like it's yours.
Well, I hope I didn't offend you any, Harry. I just fell into talking like that because I began thinking like that as soon as you put the wedding ring on my finger. But I suppose it'll be a long spell before we really know each other well enough to be like a regular husband and wife. And I apologize, Harry.
Wife?
What is it, Harry?
Nothing. I was just saying, wife. That's the best meal I've had in a year.
Thank you, Harry.
Mrs. Harry, you're a wonder.
You sure are.
If you cook like this every time, you'll have me fatter than a shoot.
Oh, thank you, Hosea and Howard and Hob, my brothers.
Guess it takes me to pick out a good wife, boys.
Sure tastes that way.
Guess things will be a mite more comfortable for us from now on.
Thank you, Hosea.
Oh, it's all right, Millie. Hob, let's go in the front room. Play your game of checkers.
All right, let's go.
Well, Harry, how's your checker game?
I'll take you on, Howard.
Oh, but Harry.
What is it, Millie?
Nothing.
Come on, Harry.
I'm coming. You like checkers, Millie?
I like to watch a checker game.
Good. You come in the front room and watch us after you've finished with the dishes.
Thank you, Harry.
Oh, that's all right. Sure was a wonderful meal you cooked.
Land sakes, Harry, these floors ain't been scrubbed in a year. You boys sure dirty up a lot of shirts.
Well, that's nothing, Millie. We're going to change them a lot more often now that you're here to wash them for us.
Say, Harry, Millie said she was going to polish my boots, and here it's most time for me to go to town. She ain't done it.
Oh, she's going to Hob. As soon as she comes in from feeding the chickens and getting the dishes done. I'm sorry you won't go to the county fair with us, Millie.
I can't do that, Harry. I'd only get behind in my work. And besides, you boys will want a good hot supper when you come home. Hello, Harry.
Millie, you're looking peaked.
Am I?
Mm-hmm. Ain't you looking in the mirror lately?
Just a glance. I ain't had time to examine my face very close.
Well, it's peaked.
That don't surprise me none.
Why?
What did you marry me for, Harry?
Why, because I liked you.
No, Harry.
No?
No. You asked me to marry you before you knew me. You wanted someone to do the woman's work on this farm.
Millie, that's true. I asked lots of girls that same day. You know that,
But what, Harry?
But I'm glad it was you that said yes.
You mean because it turned out to be a good worker?
No, Millie. I mean because you turned out to be you.
Harry.
Oh, Millie.
You love me, Harry?
Yes, Millie. That's why I'm worried about you looking so peaked.
Don't you know why I look peaked, Harry?
No.
Harry, I get up at 5 in the morning, and I make 3 meals a day, and I do the dishes, and I feed the hens, and I scrub the floors, and I wash the dirty clothes, and I wring them out, and I iron them, and I do the dusting and the mending, and I never have time to sit down. And it takes so long that I can't even seem to get more than 5 hours sleep every night. Besides that, Harry, I'm expecting a baby.
Millie, why didn't you tell me?
So
a baby?
See, I just can't do all that work anymore.
Yeah, ain't a-going to. From now on, my brothers can wash their own shirts and clean their own rooms and do all their own work for themselves.
Oh, that's foolish, Harry. We all live in the same house. You can't divide the work up that way.
Well, then my brothers got to do what they made me do. They got to go into town and find themselves some wives.
They won't find wives.
Why not?
Because only a bound girl would take a man the way I took you, Harry. Not that I regret it.
Well, then what can we do?
Land sakes, Harry, there's more ways of killing a cat than choking it with cream. If the girls won't marry your brothers when they're asked, why don't your brothers marry them first and ask them afterwards?
That don't sound practical.
Well, it is practical. I read in a history book once about a bunch of people called Romans who were in just this fix. They were settled among people that were unfriendly to them. People called Sabins or Sabins or some such name. And they raided the Sabin town one night and they carried off a lot of the Sabin women and they married them.
That may sound all right in a history book, but I don't see how we're going to do it.
Land sakes, Harry. Your brothers can't do as well for themselves as a lot of old dead Romans. And they're no brothers of mine, and they can cook their own suppers the rest of their lives.
Well, if you're so smart, maybe you can tell me how it's going to be done.
All right, I will. You know the big sociable they give in town just before Thanksgiving? Well, you and me and the boys are going to that sociable. And when we get there...
You are listening to Helen Hayes in The Sovereign Women on the Electric Theater, brought to you by America's business-managed, tax-paying electric light and power companies. Next Thursday, we celebrate Thanksgiving, and it's largely because a woman made up her mind that we should. It was Mrs. Sarah Josepha Hale who persuaded President Lincoln to declare Thanksgiving a national holiday way back in 1864. We're all glad she did, even though Thanksgiving always means plenty of work for the women of the family. It isn't the drudgery it used to be, though. Today you have electricity to roast the turkey, bake the pies, whip the potatoes, and do a lot of other chores in the kitchen. Electric service takes over so many of those tiresome tasks and gives you a lot more time to visit with folks. And best of all, you know that you can depend on your electric service, for it's kept ever ready by the skills and experience of your neighbors, the employees of your business-managed electric light and power company. Management and employees work together in these companies to keep your electric service as constant and dependable as science and human skill can make it, day and night, year after year, around the clock and around the calendar. Now back to our play, The Sovereign Women, starring Helen Hayes as Millie, with John Morley as Harry Ponteby.
Boys are ready, Millie.
All right, Harry. Let's go to the cloakroom and get the shotgun. All ready, boys!
Jimmy, no!
No, I won't. I've got you, girl.
Let go of me!
You think through, you! You think through!
Don't talk that way to your future husband!
Come on! Quiet! Quiet! Now back up toward the platform.
Back up, quick! Or my husband and me'll use these shotguns. All right, Hosea, Hobb, Howard, take the girls out of here. Fire! All right, folks. We're going to give the boys a good head start, and then we're going to lock you in here. But we don't want you to worry none, because those three girls are going to be all right.
Oh, now, wait a minute.
All right, folks. Heave. Yeah. Again. Yeah. Once more. Yeah. Look at that snow.
That's the blizzard they've been predicting.
We'll never be able to get out of the Ponteby's place in this blizzard. Not tonight.
It's worse than that, Johnson. This is going to last a long time. The whole valley will be froze up solid. We won't be able to get out there till the spring thaw.
But my daughter's out there.
And mine.
Mine, too. But we ain't going to be able to help them. The only thing we can do is to wait till the spring thaw and then go out and avenge them.
Here, girls, with this blizzard that's come up, you'll not get back home for more than 3 months.
Oh! But what did they do this for?
Oh, what do you think they did it for, Charlotte?
They did it because they want you to marry them.
No.
Yes. Well, they even brought the hedge parson out here to perform the ceremony. Looks like he'll have to stay out here all winter, too.
We won't marry them.
Of course you won't. Don't you worry, girls. I won't let it happen.
But you helped them. You held that shotgun.
Oh, they made me do that. But we'll turn the table on them yet. While you stay here, I'll see you're treated respectful. I've locked this house up tight with us inside it and them boys and the hedge parson outside. And they can sleep and eat in the stable with the livestock.
Millie, I'm getting pretty lonesome out in the barn away from you.
It's necessary, Harry.
I don't see why. I'm married to you all legal, ain't I?
Well, right now the men folks gotta be separated from the women folks. Now get your head out of the way or I'll slam the window down on it.
Say, this is fun. Us girls living in a house all alone together?
Yes, it is.
is. No men folk to grumble and growl at us.
Well, girls, we can take turns playing on the spinet and dancing together.
Oh, that'll be fun. Let's do it.
Yes.
Uh-huh.
Did you ever notice how high a girl's voice gets?
No, I don't want to dance with you again, Deborah.
Why not?
You're weak. I like a good strong arm around me when I'm dancing.
Why, girls, what are you doing?
What? Oh, we're just looking out the window.
There's nothing to see outside, is there?
The boys are shoveling a path.
That doesn't sound like much of a sight to me.
We were trying to pick out the best looking one.
They're all good looking. Except the hedge parson.
That one that kidnapped me has the broadest shoulders.
Girls! This is a very, very dangerous thing you're doing. You're getting interested in those backwoodsmen that kidnapped you.
Well, we have to get interested in something.
We can't just sit around the house and look at each other all day.
But don't you realize how dangerous it is?
Is it?
Yes, it is. Listen, girls, if you're sick of all the things we've been doing, let's go up the attic and see what's stored up there. It might be fun.
Well, all right.
There's nothing in this attic.
No. It's more fun looking out the window.
Well, let's look in the trunk.
All right.
Why,
what's that?
It's a wedding dress.
Whose is it?
Oh, shucks. That's just an old wedding dress those backwoodsmen made me make when they thought you were going to marry them. Put it back.
I'm going to try it on.
It's bad luck trying on a wedding dress if you're not going to have a wedding.
I'm going to try it on anyway.
Millie, they didn't force you to make just one wedding dress when they thought there was going to be three weddings?
No, no. There are two others around here someplace.
Where?
I want to try mine on.
So do I.
I'm disgusted. Anyone would think you wanted to get married.
Well, it's not that I want to get married, but there is something about a man around the house that brisks things up considerable.
Look here, girls. Maybe you say you don't want to get married, but you're all acting like a queen bee in springtime.
Oh, now, Millie, we don't want to get married. It isn't that.
Of course not.
I wouldn't think of getting married, but...
Well, marriage is the farthest thing from my mind.
No, people, no. You've got it all wrong. Girls should be on the left.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Yes, that's better. Now then, we're gathered together in the sight of God and in the presence of this company to join this man and this woman and this man and this woman and this man and this woman in holy wedlock.
Isn't it nice to be working for your own men, folks?
Yes, but I'm worried.
You mean the thaw?
I mean the thaw. Your folks are going to be coming in from the village, and it ain't going to be any church sociable.
There's a big crowd coming over the mountain.
Uh-oh. You women folks got to hide.
You get out in the barn and up in the hayloft.
We'll get our shotguns.
Yes,
no, no, girl, stay right here. What do you men think you're doing? You want to go shooting up your father-in-law?
No, but they don't want their father-in-laws to shoot them, Millie.
Yeah, that's right.
Keep quiet. Now, some things are men's work and some things are women's work. And when men come over the hill wild and bloodthirsty, there ain't nothing will tame them except women. This is women's work. You boys go and hide in the hayloft and us girls will handle that crowd.
All right, get your guns ready.
Let's rush the house, Kramer.
No, Wilton. You and Johnson and me will march up those porch steps steady like.
Let's go!
All right. Rest of you stay here. Come on! Sure. Come on, out of there, you Potapee boys.
Come out or we'll tear the house down.
If they don't come out, we'll shoot.
Quiet. Quiet, everybody. Now get ready. The doorknob's turning.
Hello, gentlemen. Welcome.
It's a girl.
It's Harry Pungapee's wife.
Stand aside, madam.
Just a minute now. Just a minute. Listen to me. Listen to me first, and then you can do what you have a mind to. You're all good men. You have wives at home, and you love them, and you cherish them. And you want somebody to love and cherish your daughters. Well, that's just what's happening. They're being loved and cherished by the Pontapee boys.
Oh, that ain't true.
They're kidnappers.
They'll cherish them with a shotgun.
Wait a minute. Listen to me. One thing more, and then you do what you want. There's one way you can tell when a woman feels loved, and that's when she's happy in her work. And your daughters are happy in their work. Listen. Listen to your daughters.
Daddy,
listen
Daddy,
to
Daddy,
them.
Jerry Pie, Billy Boy, Billy Boy.
That's
Daddy,
your Maud. Boy, darling, Mr. Kramer, does she sound hurt or does she sound content? And there's Deborah, Mr. Johnson. It's a sweet sound, isn't it? And Mr. Wilson, there's Charlotte. Did you ever hear your daughter so happy?
No, she never sounded so happy at home.
All right, girls, come on out. Listen. Wouldn't you men like to come out to the barn and meet your son-in-laws?
We sure.
Ellen Hayes will be back in just a moment to tell you about next week's Electric Theater play. Your hosts for the Electric Theater at this time each Sunday evening are America's business-managed, tax-paying electric light and power companies. Each of these is a separate company serving its own community, and each is working for the advancement of the area it serves. They join to bring you the world's finest plays and these friendly talks to show you how, through sound business management, these companies keep your electric service constant and dependable, the biggest bargain in your family budget. And now back to the Electric Theater. And here is Helen Hayes to tell you about next week's Electric Theater play.
Thank you. Next week, the Electric Theater will present one of Broadway's longest-run hits of all time, Patrick Hamilton's hair-raising thriller, Angel Street.
The Electric Theater is produced by Joseph R. Stauffer and directed by Lester O'Keefe. Our play was adapted by Robert Sanadella with special music composed and conducted by Vladimir Selinsky. We hope you'll be listening next week when America's business-managed, tax-paying, electric light and power companies will present our own great star, Miss Helen Hayes, in Angel Street on the Electric Theater. And don't forget, Miss Hayes will appear regularly every week on the Electric Theater. Joe Ripley speaking. This is CBS, the Columbia Broadcasting System.